We are delighted to announce our newest podcast sponsor from right here in Derby, Mezzo. Located right next to Pride Park, Mezzo is Derby's newest concept in the fresh, delicious, healthy fast food game. Mezzo uses all local produce to create fresh, authentic products with no processed ingredients, and everything is made fresh to order. Mezzo bringing that Mediterranean style food right here to the heart of Derby. Choose from their pick and mix menu via their online buffet service, or choose bespoke bowls. And with prices starting from £6.95, it really is a great affordable option. They offer eat-in, takeaway and delivery from all major delivery services, open on match days, and they're even available for private event bookings. And of course, as listeners to the podcast, we have an exclusive offer for you. Use code RAMS10 for 10% off total basket price on online orders only. Give Mezzo Derby a try. Check out their app on Apple and Google stores or visit mezzoderby.co.uk. Mezzo. Eat well, love life. Welcome to the Rams Review Podcast. Discussion, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby kept. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Rams Review Podcast with your joint host this week, Jason and Corey. And it's only us two, Corey. It's very romantic. We're a month late, unfortunately, for Valentine's Day for the romantic side of things. But it's just me and you this week, as we've not put one out for, unfortunately, for a week or so, and we've missed a fair bit of action. And that's why we've jumped on together tonight, just for a quick review, mate. But how's things? How are you?
Yeah, you know, Jason, living the dream, had a lot of different things going on, as I know you did as well. And, you know, our goal when we set out this season, Jason, and as we've been doing this podcast, is to produce, you know, weekly content. And unfortunately, life sometimes hits you, and sometimes life hits you real fast. And sometimes it's not able to be done every week. But we appreciate all of our audience members sticking with us as we continue to try to knock out weekly podcast. And I'm pretty sure, I hope everyone understands that sometimes it's just not able because, you know, life happens, stuff happens. I can't swear because we wanted to be family friendly. You know, stuff happens. So unfortunately we weren't able to do it last week, but we've got a few other things in the works later on, Jason, which are really exciting, coming down the pipe. Me and you were just talking about a few of them off air as we often do, but yeah, great to be here. I'm glad me and you were able to do it this week. It's been a while since it's just been the two of us. Kind of harkens back to the olden times. And I've missed talking to you. So let's get stuck in, shall we?
Yeah, absolutely. No, it is. It's always nice to have different voices on. Obviously that is something that we definitely have always attempted to do and been very successful with, obviously, over the last couple of years. But yeah, sometimes these things don't happen, Corey, and obviously we just have to hop on together sometimes, don't we, and chew the fat on Derby County.
And to that point, Jason, if any of our audience members would like to be a part of the podcast, like to be a featured voice or a featured guest, please go ahead and send us an email or send us a DM on any of the socials. We'll get involved with that. Also, if, you know, you've got a, if you like writing or you like doing YouTube or anything like that, please feel free to send us a thing. We're always looking for key people to join the team.
No, absolutely. So getting into the action, obviously the last podcast that we pumped out was, it was just before Shrewsbury, wasn't it? Or was it just after Shrewsbury? I can't bloody remember now. It was something along those lines.
It was just before
Shrewsbury. So yeah, we were just off the back of the Cheltenham result, weren't we? We just picked up the victory at Pride Park at Chelmsford. Cheltenham. And we were looking ahead to that game at Shrewsbury. And obviously, we're going to briefly mention them, but obviously not go too much into depth because obviously there's been times beyond it. And we'd said, after that defeat against Barnsley, we'd picked up that result against Cheltenham. Shrewsbury coming to town. It was a back-to-back home game week, and you know, you was fully expecting to get something. And at that game, obviously Derby absolutely blew Shrewsbury away in that first half. And then the second half, something that I want to touch on as a talking point a little bit later on in the pod, Corey, is that just recently, over the last few weeks, Derby have started to concede a few more goals. There's been a little bit of a difference in performance at home and away and in first halves and second halves. And I remember talking, obviously you did the clip with the Salop cast, and I remember thinking, this is going to be a, I remember talking at the time with, I think it was Jack and Chris and Jake and sorry Jack sorry two Jacks. And we were really expecting Shrewsbury to turn up to Pride Park and give Derby a real good game. And that first 45 minutes, it just never materialised because Derby blew them away. And then the second half, Derby came out with a slight naivety, I thought. And obviously, they pulled it back and got the draw, which was an absolute shit show. I mean, like you said, we don't want to swear on the podcast too much, but that's what it was. And then following on from that, you were looking at Plymouth away, one of the toughest home away fixture you've got this season, as they'd only dropped 4 points at home all season. And again, a first half performance that I thoroughly enjoyed watching as a Derby fan, Corey. It was they caught Plymouth cold, in my opinion. Plymouth are on a little bit of a uneasy patch, I suppose, at the moment. But Derby did everything that they needed to do in that first half to really do what every other team that's gone to Home Park this season hasn't done. And then in the second half, Derby fell apart. It's quite simple. And then bringing it back to more, sorry, I know I'm waffling on a little bit here and trying to cram everything in one conversation, but and then you bring it on to the latest game against Oxford, another game that, just wasn't brilliant from Derby at all in either half. Luckily, it wasn't the same quality as Shrewsbury. Sorry, it wasn't the same quality of opponent as Shrewsbury was and as Plymouth was. I think what Oxford were on the back of 9 games without a win or whatever it was. I know they've changed the manager and all that. But again, we're going to go into the Oxford game in a little bit more detail in a minute. But, since we last recorded, Corey, I don't want to say that the wheels have fallen off, but there's things, isn't there, that are a little bit concerning to Derby fans.
I think what you get in this sense, Jason, is I think teams go through this all the time. And I think part of what this is just an enhanced expectation around the football club and how it's performed since Paul Warren's come in. I think if Liam Rossiniu was the manager and we'd been through in a bit of indifferent form, we were kind of thinking, yeah, look where we were, a year ago, look where we were at the beginning of the season and start of preseason and making these kind of excuses. But, since the kind of culture's changed here and I think the expectations have kind of risen as well. I think people, and I'm one of them, I've been on record as saying a few weeks ago, Jason, in the podcast, that a lot of the teams in League One were crap. And I still firmly believe that. But I think what you're looking at here is you're looking at a team that has just ups and downs and is continuing to do what it needs to do. And you're going to get these patches in the season, but I think a lot of the reasons why we look at the defeat and how bad it is and things like that is because of just the increased expectation around the football club. All these teams go through this. Derby have won 2 of the last 5. They've lost 2 in that span as well. And right now we're bang on, we're probably going to make the playoffs. I know that the gap is closing up, but it's an 11-point gap to Wickham in 7th as we're recording now. And it's a 10-point gap. No, sorry, never mind. It's not that. I was looking at the wrong thing, but it's a 10-point gap to the automatic promotion places. And I just think that you're going to have these runs of form in the course of the season. And it's going to be very difficult to blow teams away. When you look at the way Shrewsbury and Plymouth play, it's different than the way that Oxford play. And I think, Plymouth are going up. They've been one of the best teams all season, fully deserve to go up. And so the styles of these teams are going to be slightly different. Shrewsbury actually started to play football in the second half, and Derby allowed them to do that, which was nice to see that they were trying to actually get the ball down and play a little bit. So it was a slightly different test. Oxford, slightly different test. So every time you're going into these games, it's going to be slightly different tests. You're going to have to, none of these teams are going to be similar in the way they're going to play. So I think now it's just the idea of, we've seen what Paul Warren does when he wins. How can he deal with a little bit of a sticky patch? Because I'm not saying that this is a sticky patch, but this is kind of the first mini sticky patch that he's had since he's come in here. And how's he going to deal with this? And how's he going to get this team now ready and capable for taking the next step, which is hopefully at the end of the season when we hit the playoffs? How's that team performing from now until then? What's the growth projection going to look like for that? And I think that's the most important thing for me now is we've been through the sticky patch. How do we respond? How do we carry on ourselves and get back to the high standards that we had set ourselves during that 18 game unbeaten run over the winter?
Yeah, I mean, I think we are in sticky patch is a fair result. I mean, you look at the last 5 or 6 results. I mean, it's not, like you said, off the back of what was 17, 18 games unbeaten in the league. It's not been brilliant, and it boils down to Derby, obviously, up until Oxford at the weekend. They'd lost the last, what, three away. And to be fair, been stuffed in certainly the Barnsley game, and you know, the Wickham one was a little bit of an up and down. Plymouth, that second half against Plymouth was just, it wasn't what we'd have hoped, certainly from going 1-0 up. And obviously tie that in with the 1-1 against Lincoln a couple of weeks ago. Derby are sort of right in the mix at the wrong time, in and out of form. But, you know, a team that you mentioned there, you say that should be surefire to go up, Plymouth. I mean, you look at Plymouth, obviously they got dicked by Barnsley at the weekend. Should have dropped points against Derby, Corey. There's no doubt about that. Obviously lost to Peterborough the weekend before. So they're in one of those little bit of a patch at the moment as well. And I know it's something we'll cover on later on in the podcast about how that top six race is going. But yeah, there is really only one sort of team at the moment in the division that seems to be really in form, and that's Sheffield Wednesday. Maybe Ipswich are just, after a little bit of a wobble around Christmas, are starting to find the feet again. But you know, other teams up there, you know, you've got Wickham losing at Burton on Saturday. You've got Bolton, who right after a few decent signings in January seem to have started to fall off a little bit of a cliff. And you know, Barnsley really are probably the form team in the division behind Sheffield Wednesday. And I think Sheffield Wednesday play Barnsley this weekend or next weekend. So, you know, there's all these different adaptations of what's going to go on between now and the end of the season in those final 10, 11 games or whatever it may well be, depending on how many each team have played. But we'll go on to that in a little bit more detail later. But a lot more on Saturday, Oxford. I mean, I honestly, I sat and watched the game, and I thought, as a whole perspective of you know, that 90 minutes, that's one of the worst games of football I've seen Derby play. I was shocked. I was disappointed. You're right in that, you know, these are tests. Away trips in League One are different tests to what Derby are used to. But you know, we've had, what, 15 away games this season already. We know what League One's about now. You would hope you should know how to get out of those results, get out of those games with results. And again, very much like I think it was Cheltenham just after the turn of the year, Derby managed to pick up the result, but they never managed to get Oxford at arm's length enough, in my opinion. It never felt like they got them at arm's length, even at 3-1 up after James Collins scored. You always felt that Oxford had got a way back into the game, and obviously they did score in, what, the 89th, 90th minute or whatever it may well have been. And luckily for Derby, it was a little bit too late for Oxford to really mount and finish the game the final 2 or 3 minutes, but and really put Derby under pressure. But it's one of those, isn't it? It's a period of time, Corey, that, you know, with 10 games to go now, we all want to be playing that fantastic style of football.
But I know what you're saying, but you can't do that every week, Jason.
No.
Rudely cut you off. And I think that's where the expectations that I mentioned come in. We're expecting that, you know, we went on this 18-game unbeaten one where you look really, really good. We're picking up results. But we're still a League One football club with higher-end League One, lower-end championship players, right? On average, and that's not to put anybody down, just on average. You're going to have these ups and downs. You know, I know that they think, I know Paul Warren's done well, and they call him the League One Guardiola, but he's not Jesus Christ. He's not coming down from the hills waving a magic wand. Like, he's still proven, I can only go off of what Paul Warren has done in his career, he is a championship in League One, lower championship, high League One manager. And so you're going to have these fits and starts and the things. And I think it goes back to expectations. If we sat here a year ago, Jason, and said, if we can stay in the relegation fight and not be relegated, we didn't get relegated until April. Like that would be, I would snap your hand off. And to be in the situation that we are right now, what, fifth in the league, haven't had a good run, some decent players, I'd snap your hand off, because I said day one when we kicked off, the best we could hope for would be a playoff run, not promotion, a playoff run, because that's just where this team is at right now. Unfortunately. So, you know, you have to keep your expectations in check as well. We went on this great run, but that does not mean that we are going to continue on this great run and keep banging teams out to get to the playoffs. And you don't want to be playing your best football, Jason, at the early part or the middle part of the season. That sets you up for success later on. But right now we have to get out of this sticky patch, play ourselves back into form so that when we hit the playoffs, we're in peak form. And I'd rather lose a few games now than lose a game in the playoffs that costs us a chance at going to Wembley for promotion. That's what I'd rather get the losing out the system now, in all honesty. And I think it's just tempering expectations sometimes and realizing where we're at as a football club, and we're still doing pretty good. There's a lot of other teams in this division that would love to be in the situation that we are. And I realize that we're Derby County, and I realize that we're a massive club, and I realize we have a Premier League, you know, training ground and whatever. But as of right now, we are the fifth best team in League One. That is currently our level of where we're at. And all we can do is play the next team. So just a lot of times it's just tempering the expectation, because I think when you get ahead of yourself, you set yourself up for disappointment and you start looking for things that maybe aren't there or are there. But, you know, I agree. Derby will play much better than that other parts of this season and still lose.
Yeah. And I think that ties in with what I was about to say next, really, Corey, was that, you know, you look at, so from the Plymouth game, Paul Warne came out, said in his post-match that, you know, he had to have a few words in that dressing room about effort, about desire, about, you know, does basically, you know, if you want to play for this team, you're going to basically have to stand up and do what we want, in not so many words. And then obviously it comes to Oxford on Saturday, five changes. And like I said a minute ago, that for me, that performance against Oxford was all over the place, Corey. We didn't look comfortable all game. Yes, there were standout moments, which we're going to go and talk on in a minute. But as a style of play, a standard of play, I don't think that was any better than what we saw Tuesday night. And the only difference is, obviously, between the two games is we lost one, we won the other. So Tuesday, it's very easy, as fans do, it's very easy to pick fault because you've not won the game. Whereas actually we might have played that bit better, actually, certainly against better opposition on Tuesday night. And then obviously you go into that game against Oxford on Saturday and it wasn't the best performance, but you come out with it with 3 points. And that does tie up with exactly what you're saying. But it also points out that Derby make five changes. As I say, a couple of them forced, a bit of a change up front, you lose your talisman. Nice that we don't have David McGoldrick in the side and we can still score three goals. That's great. And obviously, Louis Sibley, somebody will come on to talk to, I'm sure, about in a minute, gets two of those. And so it's always great that you can pick up 3 points without somebody who's scored 17, 18 goals this season and has been the linchpin of your side for the majority of the season. But at the same time, it does show where we're at when first team individuals aren't available. We're having to then reshuffle the pack a bit, and we're not as strong as we want to be. And I don't think that's not a secret, Corey. That's not a surprise, is it? You know, we know that. And so we have gone through this season so far, square pegs in round holes in certain positions, and we are doing so well. And again, because of that 18 game unbeaten run, if we'd have not gone on that, nobody would have been mentioning Derby for the top two, in my honest opinion. But it's the fact that, you know, results, it's a results business. We were getting the results and it was making us look like that we could probably mount a challenge. And then obviously the other teams around us were doing just as well. And then as soon as one starts to falter, the other starts to falter a little bit. And it's this sort of side by side effect. And obviously, before we know it, that gap's shrunk. I mean, I know it's hindsight, and it's very easy to say if we'd have got the victory against Plymouth, we wouldn't be looking at a 10-point gap. We'd be looking at a 6-point gap or a 4-point gap or whatever it may well be. And then it's absolutely game on between now and the end of the season. But that's not the situation that we're in. But only 9 days ago, again, we were questioning, can Derby, well, certain fans, not us particularly, but certain people on social medias and things like that, were questioning, well, are Derby good enough to be in the top six? And it's like, well, you've got to take a bit of balance, and you've got to, you've got to look at it. We are fifth. Yes, Wickham losing against Burton on Saturday was it, and I know Burton had 10 men for about an hour. That was an absolute fantastic result. But that's what this level's about. We know what the championship can be like. For anybody can beat anybody. League One is obviously very, very similar. It's just a different level of quality. Anybody can pick up a result against anybody. At the most weeks, there's always one of those results that you look at. I can't remember exactly who it was on Saturday. I think it was I can't remember who the home team were, but it was they played Cheltenham, and Cheltenham ended up winning 2-3 nil, and it might have been even Bolton or somebody like that. And it's like, wow, really? There's always those strange results that seem to throw up in the division. So yeah, I mean, it's that it's the business end of the season, and I will always take results over performances. It does lead me into a bit of a worry about Derby getting into the playoffs, which I will say I think's a surefire thing. I think Derby will be in the playoffs. Exactly what position we're going to be in from third to sixth, I'm not 100% sure at the moment. We've still got a couple of tricky games coming up, but I think the majority of them we can pick up results in. And like you said there, it is about going into that period in the best form possible. But the same old cliches come back. Derby's lack of squad depth, Derby's age of the squad, Derby's this, that, and the other. And obviously, the couple of defeats that we've had recently have all of a sudden, to some fans, has knocked the stuffing out of us. It's
And
like, we
to
need
that,
a bit of a reality check
yeah,
sometimes.
and to that, Jason, that goes to the expectation thing. I mean, we were sitting back here, we've been talking about, we know that they need a right back. We know that we don't have a lot of depth on the bench. We know that if we get a couple injuries to a couple key pairs, we're best of luck, see you in League One next season. But all was rosy in the garden during the 18-inning game unbeaten run. We had people in form, top class, didn't need this, this, and this. And now they're coming back to reel their ugly heads, and then people sit there and they get surprised because they're like, oh, we've been playing with square pegs and round holes. Yeah, we've been doing that all season. Yeah, we've been having to make do. Yeah, we've been praying to the injury gods that things don't happen. But when you lose a couple on the trot, people start thinking differently. And that goes back to the expectation. Every team at this level is going to have gaps in what they can do due to budgets and personnel. There's no formidable team that doesn't have any gaps at all, other than probably Sheffield Wednesday, who are skating the league, because this is League One football, right? There are teams, Jason, that play in the Champions League and they play at the upper end of the Premier League that have gaps in their squad. And if teams up at that level, Liverpool will have a lack of midfielders. City can't find the right balance in the back line. And if they're having problems getting players, and they're some of the biggest clubs in the world, and Derby's in League One, and then all of a sudden we're shocked because we're a couple players short on it. We don't have as much depth. This, and this happens. But it was all rosy in the garden. So it goes back to the expectations, Jason. People just need to sit back and critically think, okay, we're just doing the best that we can. We're just plodding along and we're going to get better. We're going to hopefully get into playoffs. And then that's our avenue up. Automatics is gone. I think Paul Warren admitted as much. I mean, I know that there's a lot of football to play between now and then. I would think personally, I don't see Derby getting automatics. I don't see it. I don't see it. Come at me if I'm wrong and we get automatics, I'll be over the moon. I think we're bang on for the playoffs. I don't think anything will change. I think that we've proven enough that we're one of the better teams in this division and that we have enough to go into the playoffs. And that's all you can hope for at this thing. So just the expectations just need to be lowered slightly because they were so elevated over that 18 game run. So elevated. You know, oh, maybe we could win the division. You draw a couple, you lose a couple, and then all of a sudden the world's coming down. Just manage the expectations, temper the expectations, and then let's continue to progress as we're doing. Because I don't think sometimes it's helpful either in the atmosphere at the stadium or, you know, the way people go at players when things happen online, you know, and then they comment and stuff like that. Like, there's enough, there's proven to me there's enough character in that dressing room. There's enough nous in that dressing room that they're going to get this right and that they're going to continue on. Because if they were a bad team, they wouldn't have gone on an 18 game unbeaten run. We wouldn't have took Liverpool to penalties at Anfield if we were a bad team. There's character, there's experience, there's youthful vigor. It's got the right mix right now. You've got a coach that seems to be meshing with everybody. And so let's take that. Let's move forward. Let's remain positive about how the season can end.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Fully agree with that. We'll cover, I'd say, well, Oxford, we went off on a bit of a tangent there. We were going to cover that a little bit later, but we've kind of covered that quite nicely. And we'll leave that as it is. And we'll revisit that in the next couple of weeks as the games develop. Obviously, a point in time coming up very, very soon, Corey, is that Easter bank holiday over here where you've got those couple of games in the space of 3 days. I think Derby at Forest Green away, Milton Keynes at home. That is a big mover and
as
they
Billy
always
Davis
say,
once said, it's men and the boys time.
It is. It's a big mover and shaker in the division. So we'll obviously we've got Peterborough, Fleetwood coming up at home, Peterborough away before those games, which we'll touch on in a little bit. But a little bit more on Oxford, a bit of a positive. As I say, I thought the game was crap. I really did. I thought it was a terrible game of football. I don't think Derby played very well in it. I don't necessarily think Derby deserved to come out of it with 3 points, but they did. And that is testament to everything we've kind of talked about. And that does mean that Derby, you know, are a pretty decent outfit at this level. And it also probably takes a nod towards that big divide in League One that are the better sides against the not so good sides. But Oxford didn't play like a team, in my opinion, that had lost 8 out of the last 9. Obviously, I know they've had a management change, and obviously, I know you know the manager. You certainly know the manager at Oxford quite well from following Blackpool and stuff like that. But they didn't play in any way like they were a struggling side, and I thought they caused Derby more than enough trouble. Over the 90 minutes. But at the end of the day, Derby did come out with it with the 3 points, Corey. Three goals scored, two conceded. The two conceded are poor goals. But in terms of goals scored and player performance, Louis Sibley plays as the number 10 for the first time in a while, gets two goals. And, you know, James Collins via, I think it's fair to say, via a deflection, got Derby a real good foothold and control in the game, and luckily they managed to see it out. But it's and after three away games in Wickham, Barnsley and Plymouth, where obviously we'd shipped what 8 goals, obviously another 2, so that's 10 goals in 4 away games that we've shipped, which is not a great record. But stopping that rot away from home, if you can call it a rot, probably is. 3 straight defeats is a bit of a rot. It's important to stop that, Corey, no matter who. And I think, you know, the level of performances as well. I mean, Wickham was anybody's game. I thought Barnsley were soundly beaten. Plymouth, bar the last 35 minutes, we were really in the game. And then, I say, it was a little bit hit and miss on Saturday, but at the end of the day, it's that period in that period of the season where points on the board matters. But
yeah, it's not about performance, Jason, about putting points on the board. And if you have to win ugly, you have to win ugly. And sometimes you have to do it at this division. And then for me, you know, it's a positive because Derby's proven they can win a different way. You know, you have to try to win different games. You can't, you know, wipe the floor with everybody. Playing, you know, sexy tiki-taka football or whatever you want to do. You have to change it up. You have to do different things. And Derby won ugly. And that's only going to help them later on this season to have that kind of momentum piece going forward.
Yeah, exactly. But as I say, a couple of things to talk about. Louis Sibley, we've got to mention Louis Sibley about from the game. Was pushed back into that number 10 role with Didzy missing out with a hip injury. Fingers crossed that's not too bad, because obviously it would be a massive miss between now and the end of the season. Actually would probably be one of the killers for Derby if he wasn't involved in those final 10, fingers crossed 13 games with the playoffs. Maybe it is time for him to, you know, certainly with Fleetwood at home on Saturday, which we'll come on to in a little minute. No disrespect to them, but maybe it's a game that he can miss out on, and especially with no midweek games for the next two or three, give himself chance to get back into it. But Louis Sibley, a player that obviously, Corey, on this podcast we've spoken about, and I know a lot of Derby fans and a lot of Derby podcasts and a lot of Derby media have mentioned about Louis Sibley. But he was given his opportunity in that 10 role on Saturday, which is very rare for him this season, as he's been used as a left back. He scores two great goals, in my opinion. Without him, Derby lose the game. But it's the same thing with Louis Sibley, isn't it? It's about if he gets his opportunity again on Saturday against Fleetwood, which you would think he may well, he's got to do it again, hasn't he? Which is one thing that, other than under Cocu for those six games, he's never really done for the next 3 years of his career, is he?
Yeah, and that's the next challenge for Louis Sibley. He's had a great game, now build on it. I'm not going to say I'm as high on Louis Sibley's stock as what I was a couple of years ago, because he's proven more often than not, Jason, that he's not a difference maker. He was a difference maker on Saturday. And now the challenge, like you say, is to take that and go into the next spate of games to continue to get better, to continue to improve, and to make that number 10 spot his own. We know that that's his best position. We know what he's capable of doing there. We've seen it a few times, not often, but a few times. Take that, make that position your own, continue to drive on, get better, and lead this team to where you need to lead this team to, because continuing to not making an impression, that'll be Cocu, Rooney, Rossini, Warren. This will be the fourth manager that he's worked under. And I think if he loses faith in Warren, Louis Sibley's time at Derby might be numbered, because I don't think Paul Warren strikes me as a guy that's going to he'll back you when you're backing him and you're playing and you know you're doing the business. But if you're not doing the business, I think you're out the door, and Derby cannot afford to have passengers. Louis Sibley needs to kick on. He needs to take this performance, which was fantastic, by the way, and he needs to run with it, make that 10 position his own, and don't allow anybody else to take that position off him because he's playing so well. Make the coach have a headache, make the manager have an ache, because you're playing well and he can't play somebody else who is playing there, and he has to find a different position for Jason Knight, Max Bird, Barkhausen, Mendez Lang, somebody, Collins, whoever it is, that they have to then sit on the bench and come off and find a different spot for them. That's what I want to see from Louis Sibley. That's going to convince me Louis Sibley has a future at Derby County, because if he doesn't do this, I'm telling you this right now, this is his last chance saloon at Derby, because this is four managers. If he doesn't produce under four managers, he should probably go, because he's never going to produce. I know he's young. I know we love him because he's an academy player. But you can't afford passengers at this level. You can't afford people who are not going to make a difference. He's had a great performance. Now continue that, build off of it, and keep getting better.
Yeah, well, it's four managers over two different levels of division, isn't it? And I think we all would have expected Louis Sibley to probably hit things a little better in League One than he did in the Championship. But I know that doesn't always work out. Sometimes the technically gifted players are better in the Championship than they are when they drop down, but I would fully agree. But obviously this year he's found his forward opportunities, certainly in the position that he wants to play in, as a bit of a premium. But it'd be very harsh now to drop him for Saturday, and then he's given that opportunity, and yeah, he's got to back that up. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's not going to be a 8 out of 10 every week, otherwise he wouldn't be at Derby anyway. But you are right, you want to see that level of progression. We've seen it too many times over the last 3 or 4 years, where he has a couple of good games and then he goes missing for three or four, which is obviously something that Derby can ill afford. A couple of other players I want to talk about. From the Oxford game on Saturday, Corey, when the starting lineup came out, and obviously David McGoldrick isn't involved, the one person who you know is going to be starting in his place is James Collins. Obviously, somebody who's been very hit and miss this season, unfortunately, is like Marmite with the fans. But one thing that you want via a thunder strike or a deflection, what you want is when you have to make that change up front, is that your focal point up front manages to get himself on the score sheet. And that's exactly what he managed to do. I don't remember too much else, unfortunately, that he really did in the game, Corey. But at the end of the day, the stats will say that James Collins got on the score sheet on his return to the starting lineup. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as your strikers are scoring goals when they're given the opportunity to, for me, that's a positive. And then the other person, just before I pass it back over to you, the other person that I want to talk about is obviously, well, two other people quickly. Tony Springett makes his full debut for Derby on Saturday. And unfortunately, he did not particularly shine, in my opinion. Somebody that I know people have kind of said, maybe, you know, he deserves something. It's very hard for that kind of position to get into a game. It'd be great to see what he could do from the start. I thought it was a good opportunity. Obviously, the only other better opportunity really would be against a lesser side at Pride Park. But, you know, he for me, didn't really cover himself in glory on Saturday. Don't think he did particularly too much wrong. He got caught out of position a couple of times, but there was nothing going forward from him. And then, of course, the other final talking point for me personally from Oxford is obviously the return of Max Bird off the bench, albeit, and what a amazing addition he should be, as long as we can keep him fit between now and the end of the season, Corey.
Yeah, 100%. And I think, Jason, to the point about James Collins, I've not been his biggest fan. I don't think he necessarily has a future at Derby. I don't think he's necessarily that great of a striker for us. But again, he's been afforded an opportunity. McGoldrick's been in and out of the squad all season with injuries. He's scored. Continue to keep the run. Continue to build. Make that position your own. You're not going to displace David McGoldrick, but when you get an opportunity, make a difference. Springett made a difference earlier on by winning 3 points when he kept that ball in. Earlier this season against forget who it was, but you know the goal that I'm talking about. And so that's his best contribution. If it takes him a while to get in, great. He's not a starter. He's an energy guy coming off the bench. That's fine. You need role players like that, but he's not a starter at this level. And Max Bird, finally proving his worth. He's one who's grabbed his opportunity in League One by the horns. He's mostly an undroppable player now, and he's going to come into the squad and hopefully give them the lift that they need, because we know he's a quality player at this level, and hopefully he can come in and continue to keep proving himself and show his quality that we know that he has, because we had said that we won't really know what Max Bird brings until he's been out. We know what he brings now, and we need that back. And so get over his injury, come back in, maybe play him for an hour on Saturday, switch him out with Harvey White, and then continue to build that back fitness up, because he is going to be a crucial player for the end of the season and then hopefully the postseason. I mean, so I think, Jason, I think the players that you mentioned, that we just mentioned in conversation there, Louis Sibley, Tony Springett, James Collins, and Max Burt, all these players just have to continue to get marginally better, continue to earn their place in the squad. It's okay if Springett doesn't start. He wasn't brought in as a starter. He was brought in as a squad guy. So give him a couple of starts. That's great. Doesn't look good. That's okay too, because we have first teamers in those positions. We're not relying on Tony Springett to carry us to the promised land. So they just need to continue to grow and develop and continue to show their place. But I think the big one for me, Jason, is Louis Sibley. Like I said, under four managers, if he doesn't do it this time, how many more opportunities is he going to continue to get in a Derby shirt? Because I realize he's young. I realize he's young and he's got all this potential, but you have to show it week in and week out. And Paul Warren does not strike me as a guy who's going to carry somebody just for the heck of it. So with that, Jason, let's go ahead and turn our attentions to the next game, where Derby will play the COD Army at Derby. Hopefully, I'm hoping that the COD Army bring the little fish mascot guy, because that was hilarious. It was just like a guy and he was wearing a giant fish head. Hilarious. But more than likely not. Rami would definitely beat him in a fight. That's not even, I'm going to bring him back mascot fights. Like, Rami would just totally annihilate him in a fight. But yeah, so let's go back. We spoke, Jason, earlier this season to our friend Josh Dawson, a freelance football journalist who's also a Fleetwood Town fan. about the Cut Army. We spoke to him. We spoke to him just a little while ago. Let's find out what Josh has to say about the Cut Army and Fleetwood ahead of this weekend.
When we spoke back in August, I said a good season for Fleetwood would be to stay up comfortably, and it looks like they're on track to do just that. It was a difficult run of form over Christmas, but that's been turned around recently on the most part. And of course there's the FA Cup run as well, making it to the fifth round, which is the furthest the club has ever been, so that's a huge achievement. It's been a season of mixed emotions so far. I really like him. I think he's doing a good job for his first season in management. He's honest, he's got a vast amount of experience in football at a top level, and he's learning, which is all you can ask from a manager. I know some fans were starting to become a little uncertain during that bad run over Christmas and in the new year. After beating Sheffield Wednesday in the FA Cup, I think that was a big turning point for him, and I'd like to think everyone is behind him again now. So the first player that comes to my head is Jay Lynch. I possibly mentioned him in August too, but he's been superb so far. His ability with the ball at his feet is great, which is something that's so important in modern football nowadays, and his shot-stopping ability is equally as good. Wiradu and Rooney are another two for versatility. Wiradu has had a huge impact on the back line since coming into it, helping to change Fleetwood's fortunes around, really, and it's often noticeable when Rooney isn't in the side too. Even Patterson as well. His technical ability and delivery into the box is superb. Brown has changed his formation several times this season. Recently, we've played four at the back, with Rooney and Earl as the two full-backs, but it wouldn't be a huge surprise to see Fleetwood line up with wing-backs either, playing a three at the back, or five at the back if you like, however way you look at it. Usually it's a three in midfield, consistently Vella and Warrington being the two nail starters, then a front three. I could obviously get this completely wrong, but that would be my guess anyway. Obviously, we're strong in the goalkeeping position, but I also think we're quite strong in midfield. Warrington on loan from Everton looks like some player, and that works really well with the experience of Vella. Where Fleetwood have lacked, however, is the goal-scoring threat. However, Marriott, who signed in January, got his first goal of the season at the weekend against Port Vale, which was really nice to see, and you could see how much it meant to him. So hopefully he'll kick on from there and start to find the net more often. I haven't seen too much of you guys recently, but I think you've got a good chance of promotion through the playoffs. You just seem to be leaking goals quite easily since the turn of the year. Hopefully Fleetwood can exploit that. Luckily for you, McGoldrick is on fire at the moment, though. I think Fleetwood will put up a fight, and they'll be desperate for a result. They've not won since beating Morecambe at the end of last month. I think it goes without saying that McGoldrick will cause problems, so keeping him quiet will go a long way. They've already kept you out once this season, but I think your home advantage could be huge. Although Fleetwood would love to turn up against the big sides, so we'll just have to wait and see. Derby are a very good side. It's not going to be easy, to say the least. That being said, I'm going to go with an optimistic 1-1.
Thanks for that, Josh. Really appreciate it, mate. Jason, it should be a decent matchup. And Derby's been historically very strong at home over the past couple of years. We need to win this game, don't we? I mean, we beat Oxford away from home. Going into this game against Fleetwood, if we win this, that'll be two on the trot. See, I can do simple math. One and one is two. That kind of, you start then looking in the rearview mirror to the kind of bumpy patch that you've had, because you've had two successive positive results and you continue to build momentum from there. So I'm not going to say that it feels like a big game or it feels like a defining game, but it certainly is an important game in the terms of, you win this, your bumpy patch is in the rearview mirror and you're starting to move past that to the last 10 games locked and reloaded to go again. I mean, you get the same impression, right? I would assume.
Oh, yeah. With how tight the playoff picture is, Derby are going to have to pick up the results at home. If you look at some of their away trips still to come, there's a couple of ones you would expect Derby to get results in. There's a couple of tastier ones. that you just never quite know. But at the end of the day, I don't think you can ever back, you wouldn't back against Derby at home, against 90% of this division. And, you know, it's one of those games that obviously earlier on in the season when we went up to Fleetwood, we were still under Rosinia. It was one of those games that, you know, Derby knocked on the door all day long and just couldn't get a way through. They're, what, comfortably mid-table, sort of mid-table to lower end. I don't think necessarily relegation's in their rearview mirror this season. As far as I'm aware, I've not really looked at the table, to be honest. Obviously, don't really look at down at the bottom end, but it's...
Yeah, Fleetwood's 16th, so...
Yeah, so...
It's kind of far enough away where... Could they get sucked back into it? Yeah, they have a 10-point gap. So, are they safe? No. Have they done enough to stay up? Yeah, probably.
Probably, yeah. I mean, but don't remember, they are going to come like a few teams have come over the last couple of weeks and expect to try and frustrate Derby. But what we have seen with the likes of against Morecambe, Cheltenham to a lesser extent, but sort of the same. Shrewsbury for 45 minutes. Derby at home are a very, very strong outfit and have tended to blow away teams in a small section of the game, and that's been enough to take all 3 points. I don't expect anything other. Obviously, if David McGoldrick is missing from Saturday, who has been the goal machine at home, that's obviously that makes things a little bit difficult. You can't take 18 goals a season out of any division. Out of any team in this division and expect them to, you know, get results. So yeah, it's going to be one of those. You just hope that Derby can, like you say, they can keep the bandwagon going. They have had even at home, they've had a bit of an up and down, haven't they? They had the draw against Lincoln. They beat Charlton. They beat Cheltenham. They've drew against Shrewsbury. So there has been a couple of disappointing results in there as well. But on the back of that 3 points against Oxford, you would have expected Forlorn, obviously after the Plymouth game, Forlorn gave them a bit of a lash in. They responded with that one. Obviously, one of the things that is certainly going to help Derby between now and the Easter break, like we mentioned earlier, is it's just a game every 7 days for the next three, I think it is. That's obviously going to help some tired legs, which we know we've got. Don't get me wrong, that helps other teams as well, but certainly for us, that's going to help us. And I can't really see anything other than Derby picking up the 3 points. To be honest, like I say, you look at the teams that have turned up at Pride Park just recently, in the games what Derby have managed to get results in, they've just gone about the business. I mean, the draw against Lincoln was just one of those funny ones, wasn't it? It was straight after that first defeat after the 17 unbeaten. But I mean, the game against Shrewsbury is slightly different because obviously they were on great form. Derby blew them away in that first half, and then they just really counteracted Derby in that second half and basically blew Derby away in the second half. So it goes to show why they're up there fighting in trying to get into those playoffs. But a team like Fleetwood, who, let's face it, are expected to probably struggle in this division, they've managed to keep their heads above water quite comfortably. Like you said, they're in 16th, 10-point gap.
They're coming to also a big stadium, Jason, that they may or may not be used to play in. You know, we know Pride Park fills out. We've got, you don't get any trophies for this, but, you know, it's one of the biggest crowds that you can get in League One. And so, you know, it's going to be a good atmosphere and it should be a good cracking game. But, you know, there's been bumps and bruises along the way with this all season, but this is a period of time where we have an opportunity to go a home game against a team that is in the lower echelons of the league, get the second win on the bounce, and then start to build from there, and maybe build on another unbeaten run. and things like that, and continue to play people into form and things like that. Like you said, maybe we rest David McGoldrick. McGoldrick's missed a few games with injuries. We have to have David McGoldrick for the business end of the season. It's non-negotiable. So maybe you start McGoldrick on the bench and you bring him on, or you know, you try these different things to bring Max Bird in and try different permutations against Fleetwood to try to rest some people. I think the point that you make there about not having midweek games for a while is a good one, because it's going to allow us opportunities to do it. We also have an international break coming up, so we don't know what's going to happen in terms of international call-ups, and maybe the Peterborough game gets postponed, which could be a blessing and could also probably be a curse, because then we'd be saddled with a extra game at the back end of a season against a team that may or may not be fighting for a playoff spot as well. So, you know, there's a lot of permutations, a lot of twists and turns, but I think this is an opportunity to come in to make it, to get a statement, to make another statement into this division. I'm not going to say a statement season defining win, but let's make a statement against Fleetwood. Let's get two on the bounce in terms of victories. Let's look at the bumpy patch, have that in the rear view mirror, and move forward at home in front of the crowd, and start putting this club back, solidifying that playoff position as quickly as we can. Because once we solidify that playoff position, the quicker we can do that. If we can do it with 4 games to go, or 3 games to go, or 2 games to go, or even 1 game to go, then you can start rotating players in and out, because you're not under as much pressure. You're just jockeying for positions, and you can start playing matchups on who do you want to play in the playoffs. You could start resting people and doing different things and getting other people minutes and running them back into form and doing all these different permutations. But in order to do that, you got to win the games. You got to go forward and you got to get everything solidified first. So let's start that against Fleetwood. Let's go 2 on the bounce, and let's start the good times rolling again.
Yeah, I think I would fully agree with that. You've got to get those 3 points, however you can get them, certainly at home against a team that's lower end. It is as simple as that. And then obviously the next one is, as I say, dependent on international call-ups, would be Peterborough away, which is probably the trickiest, one of the trickiest games, you would assume, between now and the end of the season. And yeah, you know, I think it's fair, Corey, we would sit here and say the automatics are gone. And I think, you know, you'd be silly to not think that. But I suppose until it's mathematically possible, Plymouth obviously are on that little bit of a bit of a dive at the moment. Ipswich have picked up form. Barnsley are flying. They're in the driving seat, but we have got to try and keep ourselves just ticking along, like you say. And again, games at Pride Park against whoever you're coming up. Obviously, Ipswich is not a million miles away as well, beginning of April. So we've just got to keep that form going at home. But yeah, you've got to hope for 3 points at home, and I don't see anything other than that, to be perfectly honest with you. I think obviously we've not done score predictions. We've not done score predictions for ages. I don't know if I'm going to throw one out there. I'm going to go 3-1 Derby. I'm going to go 3-1 Derby Saturday.
I'm happy with 3-1. I'll take 3-1.
Yeah,
3-1 as well. So. I'm happy. We need to get a win, Jason. I don't even care if we play well. We need to get a win. We need to win 2 on the bounce, and we need to start looking to solidify our playoff position as quick as possible, so that our squad, which we have used, I believe it's the lowest amount of players in the league, right? I believe it's the lowest amount of players in the league. We can start giving them a break once we know that we're going to be in a solid playoff position. We know we can't finish any lower than 6th. And then we can just start looking at who do we want to play 4-6? How do we want to do these matchups, and how do we want to game that system? Kind of like what's his face? Gareth Southgate did in the 2018 World Cup when he said, oh, if I finish 2nd, I'll be on the other side of the bracket, and then I can avoid all the big times, and then I can get to the semifinal, and then I can lose. We can look at those permutations and things like that. But it's not a season defining game. It's not a crucial game, but it is an important game to try to get out of the sticky patch that we've in and keep people informed. Maybe James Collins gets a couple more goals. Maybe that is finally the kick up the backside that he's needed after a long time of not feeding the bulldog at this level for Derby. Maybe, you know, Max Bird starts to play himself a little bit more, gets himself a little bit more match fit. You know, maybe Louis Sibley starts to look at his his performance against Oxford, and it's not a one-off. It's a consistent, consistent performance, which is what we need to see from Louis Sibley. So it's a big game for a lot of different players, an important game. Derby will win 3-1.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed, Corey. Fingers crossed. Well, we've gone on for more than enough on this episode. It was only meant to be a short one, and there we are. We've pumped out yet again another hour and over an hour.
But we've pumped up. We've pumped out pure genius thoughts.
Pure quality, as always. As always. As always. But yeah, so I'm going to say this: just Saturday to Saturday for the next couple of weeks before that bank holiday weekend in this country, and we'll look towards those. So, first game, next podcast, hopefully, fingers crossed, next week will be the fallout from Fleetwood. We'll look ahead, if it hasn't been called off due to international break, the game at London Road. Probably not called that anymore, but London Road, Peterborough, and then one eye on, the two games in 4 days, of Forest Green away, and then Milton Keynes at home. So games a nice 10-day patch where not a great deal's happening, and then obviously it ramps up again for the final eight of the season, Corey. So, that's it. Obviously, as always, thank you very much for joining me. It's been a long, we haven't done one of these for a very long time. It's been very nice.
Yeah, it's nice, close and intimate to have a conversation, Jason. But we as you said, we strive to provide a lot of different opinions and things like that. So we'll be back with some guests over the next couple of weeks. But we just wanted to do it ourselves this week because it had been a while. But yeah, we'll be back with some different guests, some different voices, and some different perspectives. And we thoroughly, really appreciate everybody's support for the podcast. You're the main reason why we do it. So, let us know how you're doing, how we're doing. If you like it, if you don't like it, we love to hear from you, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And then we can sort it out from there. And they can't say ugly, Jason, because it's a podcast, not a video. Not yet.
Well, yeah.
Comments will be hopefully well reduced for both of us.
I said a little ugly at the minute, but yeah. But no, that's it. I absolutely echo everything that you've just said. And there'll be much, much more to talk about, I'm sure, as there always is with Derby County next week. And as I say, that's when hopefully the next podcast will be out, fingers crossed. And hopefully everybody's enjoyed this one. Thanks for listening. Thanks to Corey. Thanks to myself, Jason. We've been the Rams Review. And until next time, up the Rams. Thank you for listening to the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe to the podcast. And if you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at RamsReview1, on Facebook, Rams Review Podcast. Drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. And until next time, up the Rams.